following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. You know it, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante. Hope you're doing well. It is the last weekend in August. Summer is coming to a close. Can't believe it. The kids are hopefully going back to school. And we're here in studio, and I'm joined by my guest and business partner, Marion Gilman, this morning. Marion, how are you?
I'm great. How are you today, Mark?
It's been a long while since you've been in the studio.
It certainly has. Nice to be here, and nice to see you this bright and early this morning.
Well, I'm glad you woke up this morning. I mean, you've gotten to sleep late the past several Sundays, haven't you?
There you go. Yes, exactly. You've been doing the early morning duties.
I have. Well, I kind of tied that in when I was doing all that music stuff right afterwards. I'd have a very busy morning, you know, doing the radio show, then running over to Gaetano's, playing the piano there, and finally the afternoon was my own, but
it
was a
busy
day.
And it's all done now, huh?
All done. All done. Yeah. The kids are back at school.
Until the next gig.
Yeah, until something else comes up. So
there you go.
It was fun for a while, but I'm happy to have some time, and I'm happy to have you here in studio. You know, it's been an interesting time economically this past summer. I mean, we were in this trajectory where everybody thought the coronavirus was finally coming to an end, and then this Delta variant that started to trickle back in. And how are you feeling about this?
Well, I'm not real happy watching those numbers creep back up again. I thought we were out of the woods. We were back to doing a lot more things indoors that we couldn't do, going to restaurants and all. And now I see that some of that has declined. Some of that activity has declined. People are getting nervous again.
I think the CDC came out today with a statistic that said the number of people that are capturing this Delta variant, you are 29 times more likely to catch the Delta variant if you are unvaccinated than whether you are vaccinated. Now, 29 times, by saying it that way, frankly, that doesn't sound like that big of a deal. But when you think about that from an extrapolated number, there is such a more significant chance of you catching this Delta variant.
Most definitely.
If you're unvaccinated.
Yes. Oh, sure.
And I just shake my head in wondering why. Well, one of the big things is that a lot of people had said, well, I'm not going to get vaccinated until the emergency reasons for using the vaccination are lifted. And now it's totally and completely approved by the government. Pfizer's product has been completely approved.
That's very true. So there's no excuse.
So, I mean, perhaps there's a religious reason. Perhaps there's some medical reason where it would be such a sliver of the population. A sliver of the sliver, by the way. But a sliver of the population that wouldn't get it. But I just shake my head wondering why people aren't getting this.
Yeah. Well, again, as you mentioned, I think that one hurdle of having it full approval from the CDC is great, because now people who use that as their concern can't use that anymore. But, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, we thought we were going to be at herd immunity, which was over 70% vaccinated, and we're still not there. So,
yeah, I just remember, what was it, several months ago, people were rushing, where can I find a vaccination? You're on the website at 2:00 in the morning trying to figure out a spot where you could get a shot.
I know.
But all those people have been vaccinated, and now there's shots sitting everywhere.
So, absolutely. As a matter of fact, you know, I know people who have been eligible to get a booster.
Right.
And they've gone online, and guess what? Same day. You know, you pick your time because it's not a problem anymore to get an appointment.
You know, I know you know that I do the Topsfield Fair.
Yes.
And so I got the fair coming up October 1st. They're going to be open for business as if it's a regular fair. But I was talking with Jamie O'Brien, the manager there, and he told me that they are planning to have COVID shots, COVID vaccine shots available to anybody who wants them at no cost at the fair. You walk on the fairgrounds and you can just get your shot. They'll have a Johnson & Johnson shot. Actually, you can have your choice of shots, he said, based upon what you want. If you've got a tendency to go to one or the other, go for it. But what they're also doing, which I thought was nice, from a safety perspective for those going to the fair, they are going to be doing COVID testing of any volunteer or any employee that works at the fair. If there's anybody that's feeling sick or anybody is having any symptoms, you can go to a variety of different places at the fair, have a rapid COVID test, and determine whether you have COVID.
That's fantastic. As a matter of fact, I was at the San Francisco airport last week, and they are also offering free Johnson & Johnson vaccine shots 8 to 5 weekdays. So if you're walking through the San Francisco airport, you can get your shot.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
It really is. And now with this, with Pfizer getting approved, President Biden is now encouraging all corporations to mandate a vaccine for all of their employees. He's certainly done that for federal employees, but now he's encouraging corporations and businesses to mandate it. Do you see any problems there?
So any, you know, I know there will still be people who don't want to get the vaccine for whatever reason it is. And I do believe there are certain exemptions that will be honored for some companies. On the other hand, if it's not, you know, if you've not received an exemption, then one of the issues comes up as to if you leave the company or are fired because you didn't follow the company policy of having a vaccine, it's highly likely you will not be eligible to collect unemployment benefits. So, you know, I think that's interesting because that is a deterrent for quitting your job. So maybe it will actually encourage everybody to get the vaccine, which I hope it does.
I hope it does because, you know, as we well know, in the next couple of weeks, the extra pandemic unemployment insurance is ending.
Correct.
Frankly, we had a job posting on Indeed this past 2 weeks, and it's amazing how many more people have applied for a job here than they did 4 months ago. Now, I don't know whether one has anything to do with the other, but I think people are beginning to realize that, you know, I got to get back to work. And now using COVID as an excuse is not working as well as it did months ago.
Very true. And it seems like the kids are going back to school in person. I know that Peabody is supposed to be opening tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yes. Tomorrow? I believe it's tomorrow that they're opening school and, you know, for returning students. Yeah. So it's amazing, you know, already time for that. And first of all, it's amazing that it's already the end of the summer and the kids are going back to school. But yeah, this is the last week before Labor Day, right?
Right. And I mean, they just started the indoor mask mandate in Boston.
Right.
I'm hoping that doesn't trickle out to the suburbs and everywhere else. But
right.
Who knows what will happen. But I also believe that we have seen the light at the end of the tunnel. We've already seen it. It's gotten a little dim right now, but I think we know that we're going to get through this. Things aren't getting exponentially worse. There is a lot of good that's in front of us. We need to get people back to work. We need people to be manufacturing goods and shipping goods and transporting and building and designing and all of that stuff because, as you well know, there's shortages of all sorts of supplies right now.
And have you tried to buy a car?
Oh, yeah. you're
going to
like this purple
anymore.
One. This purple right. one looks great for you.
Or even rent a car, right?
No kidding.
Because they can't get cars on the lots.
Well, interestingly, I think I was telling you this. I'm planning to go away soon. And I had about 5 weeks ago booked a rental car out in California. And I couldn't believe how expensive it was to book a rental car for, it was 8 days. Just yesterday, I decided, because I'm going away in a week or two, to take a look and see, are the prices any better? Did they go down? And I looked, and the same car is $170 a week cheaper.
That's amazing.
And it's because of this Delta variant, what we've seen over the past week, and you're starting to see this too, Marion, with a lot of the information that you've collected. Airline reservations are down. People who had planned conferences for the months of October and November are rethinking their conferences. Travel plans are down. And so all of a sudden, there's new inventory that's becoming available. And when there isn't a huge demand and there's an overabundance of supply, the sellers have to reduce their price.
Absolutely. I recently read that there were 10% fewer people going through TSA security last Friday than there were the Friday before.
Yeah,
and
that, be
that's a big decline.
Yeah,
I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but that's a pretty big decline.
You know, I was in Rochester, New York's airport last week.
Lucky you.
Yeah, what a beautiful place to hang out. So we drove my son Noah out to University of Rochester, and Corey and I, my son, we decided to fly back because Noah took his car out there. And I couldn't believe... Now, granted, Rochester, New York's airport is pretty small. They might have 8 gates in Terminal 1 and 8 gates in Terminal 2, but the place was so empty.
Really?
And most of the restaurants, the shops, they were closed. It was, I mean, a very nice looking airport, brand new airport. But, you know, it's kind of miserable to have to wear that mask in the airport, then wear it on the plane.
And very true.
Definitely numbers were down. I think people are starting to rethink over the next couple months. But I do believe it's going to pick up again.
One of the things that I find very positive is the death rate is considerably lower
than it was
in the past. You know, we're in Massachusetts. I follow the Massachusetts statistics. And the number of people who die from COVID is considerably reduced. It's very small.
Even hospitalized, that number is going down.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah.
And, you know, many people are finding that they're getting a positive test. Even people that have been vaccinated, they might test positive for COVID.
Right.
But it has not been all that impactful.
Correct.
It's a statistic, though. It's a yes statistic. And
right.
those add to the numbers. But I do think, yeah, we're going to go through a couple more bumps, but we are heading in the right direction. We really are. And I just hope that we as a community, we as a society, we'll step up to the plate and all do our part so that we can head further into the future. I mean, I just want to get back out there again.
Absolutely. I mean, it is hard not to be able to celebrate with others and have big parties and all. And I would hate to head down that road again. I mean, some of the stories that we've heard over the past year, people who have had, you know, who've had loved ones who died. Just the other day, somebody was telling me, you know, their father died. And it was such a sad memorial service because nobody could come, you know, during COVID, nobody could come, very much reduced. They couldn't have a mass. So it was very, very difficult. We're beyond that at this point, and let's hope we stay beyond that forever. But still, I do think at this point now, more people are feeling that, well, we have to figure out how to live with this.
Yeah,
too.
But as you've been looking, I mean, people who have watched the stock market, I mean, this could be the first month in a long time where people's values could be less.
We did have one month, and I can't remember, was it June, May or June? I can't remember which one it was, but it went down minusculely, but it did go down.
Yeah, because it's been, you know.
So you mean the market goes down,
The market
too?
Goes down, and even housing prices go down too, you know.
Seriously?
Yep,
no.
They do go down.
Well, I'm sure that's not true.
You know, last week when I was doing my radio show.
You know, everybody wanted to put their house on the market 2 weeks ago, right?
Right, or, everybody
2 months
did.
Ago.
Yeah. Well, last week we were talking about some articles that I was reading, and Adam Grossman, who writes for thehumbledollar.com, started this story that he wrote that said, it was the best of times and it was the worst of times, referencing the, is it not Shakespeare? It was Charles Dickens, I think, wrote that. And I think when we get back, we're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, we're going to talk about the best of times and the worst of times and how we're having those conversations with our clients to make sure that everyone's head is staying level, that we're on track, that we're not doing anything stupid, and that we're preparing for ourselves for the inevitable, which is a market correction at some point, but knowing that we need to be rational during these emotional times. We're going to take a quick break. When we're back, more with Mark and Marion. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
I need a dollar. following message is brought to you by Friedman Financial of Peabody through 104.9's Project Local program.
Hi, it's Daniela from North Shore Hospitality Group, Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante in Peabody, reminding you to support your local restaurants. Stop by the cafe for pasta and pastries. Enjoy a cocktail on our heated veranda at Daniela's Ristorante, or indulge in prime steaks and seafood at Polana Steakhouse. Dine in, take out, or purchase gift cards from all of our locations. Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante, Peabody.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here Sundays from 8 to 9 a.m. Let's face it, your retirement will be nothing like your parents. Your life won't be based on a fixed income, and instead, in today's world, it will be up to you to make tax-smart decisions on your 401k, your IRAs, and the rest of your investment portfolio. And it's all with a goal of using this money to support your spending needs for the rest of your life. This is serious business, and at Friedman Financial, we can help. With more than 50 years of experience serving this local community, we deliver financial advice in a language you can understand. Visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Let's make your retirement all that you've dreamed it could be.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
It's not about the money, money, money. We don't need your money, money, money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno. I almost said it, Marion.
Yeah.
It's not Alto Forno anymore. It's Daniela's Ristorante. You go there for the garlic bread. They got a lot of other stuff, but the garlic bread is awesome. Anyways, if now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning and investment management needs, we do hope you'll give us a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. I am here in studio today with my business partner, Marion Gilman. Marion, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, nice to have you here.
Nice to be here.
There's a lot of stuff going on. There is a lot of stuff going on, but in other parts, it feels like there's nothing going on because there has been not much excitement in the market. It's been pretty level, right?
That's because it's only going up. So nobody's really excited because it hasn't gone down yet.
Right.
Someday.
Yeah, so we were talking about it's been the best of times and the worst of times. For many people who stayed invested, who remained invested through the coronavirus breakout in March of 2020, you know, the S&P 500 doubled since the low point.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that everybody's investments should have doubled because most people weren't invested in the S&P 500. Maybe a portion of your money was, but not all of it. But we've all seen some pretty favorable returns if we've invested in traditional investment strategies over time and we've let things run. But it's also been the worst of times for some. Of course, the loss of lives, illnesses, sicknesses, people being without jobs, having to figure out how you're going to pay your rent, whatever it might have been.
Being able to see your children or grandchildren. I mean, that was very difficult for a lot of people.
And the corner, we've come around the corner. Like I said, we've seen what the light at the end of the tunnel looks like. Maybe we rushed a little bit too fast into the light. Maybe not. But it looks like they're dimming the lights down a little bit so we can all move a little slower through the channel here. But I do believe brightness is ahead of us. It's going to be great. We're going to get through this. We can thank medical science for this. We can thank the American people for being diligent and stepping up and getting the vaccinations. And as much as we want everyone to get vaccinated, and I do, you do, there are other countries that are so, so, so far behind us that we sit here and throw the blame game around on it's Massachusetts, on it's America that's not getting vaccinated. You should see what the other countries are looking like.
Very true.
But like I said, it's been the best of times and the worst of times, and I thought maybe we would kind of talk a little bit about that today, Marion, and share what are some of the best things that are going on and what are some of the challenging things that are in front of us.
Sure. Well, you know, one of the best things, of course, is that over the past year, interest rates have declined significantly. Now, interest rates last year were already low before we went into March of 2020 with the coronavirus. They were already very low, but they actually declined more. And I know for those of you who have monies at the bank, you watch the interest on those bank accounts, and it's just pitiful at this point in time. However, for people who wanted a mortgage or needed to take out a loan, interest rates were fantastic. So mortgage interest rates were so low, so many people refinanced, and we've seen this enormous boom in housing. I think a lot of people got into that market, sold their houses at a premium, let's say.
And then some.
And you know what? That's mainly because interest rates were so low that people could qualify for much larger mortgages.
Yeah, the pool of applicants to pay for a $500,000, $700,000, $800,000 mortgage exploded. There were so many people that they said, oh, you know, it's another $100 or $200 more a month. I can get a bigger mortgage and a bigger mortgage.
That's right.
Is that sustainable?
That's not sustainable. I mean, and you know, sure, will interest rates jump right up right away? I don't think so. You know, this is, who knows? But the Federal Reserve has been very careful about their strategy during COVID. And they've consistently said and consistently reinforced that they're going to keep interest rates low until they actually see the economy is out of the woods. As a matter of fact, next week, at the end of this week coming up, they were supposed to have an in-person meeting in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. This is an annual meeting for the Federal Reserve. They actually canceled the in-person meeting.
There's not enough space out in Wyoming?
There's not enough space. They can't keep a six-foot distance because Wyoming's so small.
The cows keep getting in the way.
There you go. Exactly. No, they did cancel in person, I think probably more because the optics, but they also don't want to maybe get on a plane, not sure. In any event, it sort of sends a little signal because everybody thought, oh, the Federal Reserve might make some changes. Maybe they're going to start to, you know, not be so generous with their policies and keep interest rates so low. But by saying when we're too concerned with the travel plans that we're not going to travel to Jackson Hole, so they're still concerned with the economy, thus I do expect interest rates to stay low for a while. So if you still need to refinance a mortgage, if you haven't done it, go for it.
Absolutely. But I think the prices that people have been paying on homes, and where it was a seller's market, I think that's about to turn. In fact, you and I are starting to see hints of it already, aren't we?
Yes. As a matter of fact, in some of the statistics, in July, there were fewer home sales than in June. And prices stabilized. They haven't gone down yet, and they might never go down. But I don't think...
Never?
I shouldn't say that. That was really the wrong choice of words. They might not go down too soon.
That's better.
Let's put it that
Remember,
way.
Compliance is listening here, too.
Sorry. So, forgot about them. Right, but home prices will go down at some point, most definitely.
They absolutely will.
They always do. But for right now, they've stabilized. They don't seem to be increasing as much as they were.
No,
I mean, there was what was 10%? I don't know. My house went up astronomically in price over the past year and a half, and nothing's different about it.
Nothing's different, and people have been paying... We've heard these stories, premiums, $50,000, $100,000 over asking. I don't want an inspection. I don't want anything.
And that's
I'll pay
crazy.
Cash.
That's just crazy.
That is when the market gets irrational.
Yes.
And that's what we went to. But the thing is, so many people heard about those types of deals that they all said, well, if that person could get so much money,
right,
I'm going to put my house on the market and see what I can get. And so now you drive around your neighborhood and every street has a for sale sign on it.
Most of
them. So, you know, 6 months ago, the inventory was next to nothing. And now there is so much inventory that the brokers can't even show up to all the open houses that they're running. And they're going to be a bit more picky. And I think a lot of sellers are going to be disappointed because they're going to say, well, my friend next door got $100,000 over asking. Why can't I? Well, markets change.
Right. That's exactly right. You know, also, I think that we're running into a spot where everybody who really wanted to sell their house has probably already put it on the market. So I also think we're going to see the supply decline a bit as we go into the fall.
But I also think for the people that bought,
yep,
that paid those premium prices, I hope that they are smart enough to know that they're not likely to get a good return on their investment if they intend to sell their home in the next couple years. You hold it 5, you hold it 10, maybe even 20 years. Sure, you're going to get some appreciation on your property.
Maybe.
You're right, maybe. But logically, and I mean, look, anything can happen, but it's not very likely that you're going to be able to flip your property that you just paid a premium for and get more of a premium on it.
Right.
That's just unrealistic.
Well, let's just hope, I mean, as well, those people that bought those properties at a premium, they got a very low interest rate and a fixed rate mortgage, not an adjustable.
That's right.
Because if they got an adjustable rate, they could be in trouble later on.
Yeah, and let's hope that those that bought those big mortgages have jobs that are stable.
Yes.
So that they can continue to pay that mortgage. Because we've seen that happen all too often, where people were paying a little bit more than they should have. Remember, this is what happened in 08 and 09 during the financial crisis. People were borrowing more money than they probably should have. And the banks were not nearly as restrictive as they are today.
Right.
They were dishing out more money for people to borrow. People would buy the house, and then comes the financial crisis, and people lose their jobs. And if you can't pay your mortgage and you're trying to sell your house, but no one's willing to buy your house, and you have to potentially sell your house at a significant loss, that was a nightmare of what happened in 08 and 09. We don't want to see that happen again here.
Right. And I don't think... I think the banks put in a lot of precautions.
They have, for sure.
You know, and we see that all the time. I know a lot of people get very concerned because the banks keep asking you for more and more information. And we see that because clients call us for statements and more statements and more statements. And they get really frustrated. On the other hand, a lot of that just has to do with the requirements. And it's for your safety in many cases.
Yeah, I mean, the banks have to do their due diligence. They don't want to get caught in the same situation that they were in before.
Exactly.
But, you know, the other thing that we are seeing is a lot of retirees that are starting to look at potentially getting a mortgage. They want to sell their house, maybe move into a condo and get a mortgage, and they're finding it's not so easy based upon their income levels, right?
Sure, absolutely, because they don't have income levels, or they have to, you know, their only income comes from their asset account, you know, whatever, investment account. So that comes from their assets. So, you know, that's much more difficult because if their assets aren't significant, could run out, right?
Yeah. And there's a lot of concerns and a lot of issues that retirees and people approaching retirement are facing right now. Whether it's, should I stay in my home? Should I sell my home? Should I move in with my kids?
Yeah, you know, in some cases that's worked. We've had clients that have done a little bit of everything. We've seen a lot.
Yeah, but most people need to get some guidance on what they need to do. And one of the things that we're seeing is there's more and more people that are making assumptions about things that will happen in their life that I don't know what they're basing it on. It's maybe what they heard at a cocktail party or maybe heard as a soundbite on Instagram. And when we get back, we're going to take a quick break. I think I'd like to talk about some of the things that we've been picking up from our clients of perspectives that they have about how things will happen or what's going to happen and what they know and how we have to kind of reframe the picture a little bit to give them a better understanding of what their financial life and the financial future might look like. But before we take off for a break, I want to remind you about our newsletter. It comes out each and every Friday. Lands in your inbox at 10:30 every Friday. It's called Planning Pointers. More than 7,500 people subscribe to it. If you'd like it, just go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, to E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page. Put in your name, your email address, and you will get financial advice in a language you can understand in 3 very short stories. It also gives you an opportunity to hit the reply button. You want to send us a note, be my guest, you can do that. But until then, like I said, sign up, but go grab a new fresh cup of coffee. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. With all that's gone on over the past couple years, perhaps retirement is sounding pretty good. But how can you focus on the future when you're so busy juggling the day-to-day? It's time for a real plan, a plan you can define, a plan you can track, and a plan you can modify as things change. At Friedman Financial, that's what we do.
We know that planning for your retirement can be overwhelming, but with more than 50 years of experience, we know what you're going through. We're experienced and we're fiduciaries. We listen and we collaborate with your best interests in mind. You don't have to do this alone anymore. Turn to us for answers to your why, how, and what if questions. If now is the time to get serious about your retirement, please give us a call. We're Friedman Financial of Peabody. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Friedman Financial is a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
The following message is brought to you by Friedman Financial of Peabody through 104.9's Project Local program.
Hi, it's Daniela from North Shore Hospitality Group, Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante in Peabody, reminding you to support your local restaurants. Stop by the cafe for pasta and pastries. Enjoy a cocktail on our heated veranda at Daniela's Ristorante or indulge in prime steaks and seafood at Polana Steakhouse. Dine in, take out, or purchase gift cards from all of our locations. Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante, Peabody.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante. We've been providing financial planning and investment management services to individuals and families all around the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the southern New Hampshire area since 1968. No, I didn't do it back then. I was only two back then. My father started the firm back then. I joined in 1991, and my business partner, who's with me, Marion Hillman, joined us in 2000.
Yes, nice to be here today.
Thanks for being here. And so, Marion,
for 21 years.
21 years. It's hard to believe. I mean, I just hit 30 years. But you've been doing this for a while with other companies,
yes,
too. So you've
exactly,
been in this industry as well. So we've seen a lot.
We really have.
It's
a lot of good stuff. Some kind of questionable stuff.
Yeah, we definitely see a lot. I think one of the greatest things that we do is when we have clients who say, you know what, it was fun for a while dealing with all these different investment people, but now I want to sit down and get serious and make sure somebody knows everything. I think it's great when we sit down with some of these people and we show them that your situation is far better than you think it is. And they don't realize that because they were so scattered and so disjointed.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's a really daunting thing to be faced with losing your paycheck. You're so used to getting a paycheck every week that all of a sudden you're faced with all these accounts scattered around. How do you create an income stream from that? You know, so that becomes a really tough challenge for people individually. And that's something we've gotten very good at, walking people through consolidating their assets, getting everything in one place, figuring out what they can spend, and showing them, here's what might happen.
Right. And you don't have to be locked into this fixed budget. You know, I just remember, you know, years ago, people would say, I'm on a fixed income. You know, when you're retired, I'm on a fixed income.
And a lot of them were.
Right.
They had pension, Social Security, no assets.
This is generations prior.
Yes.
But today's retirees...
Very different.
Not living
all
on a fixed
different.
Income.
No.
I mean, their largest assets are not the money that they have in the bank or their house. Their largest assets are their 401k, their investment accounts, money in the bank, all of this stuff added together, the equity they have in their home. Remember, when people died in the 70s and the 80s, they were dying perhaps with a pension that stopped, Social Security that stopped.
Yeah.
They had maybe $1,000 or $2,000 in the bank and a house worth $29,900.
My grandparents didn't even own a house.
Yeah, there you go.
Know?
So the world is different.
Yeah.
But with all of the rules and all of the things changing, everybody tries to become an expert. And, you know, look, we can blame the internet for a lot of things. Everybody seems to become a medical expert these days, or a political expert, or, you know, an archaeology expert, whatever it could be, botany expert. And when it comes to money, people seem to think they're money experts, too. Look at how many different money sites there are out there. And we run into clients all the time, or prospects who are looking to do business with us, who have some preconceived notions about what's going to happen if this or if that happens.
And, you know, I always like to say, you don't know what you don't know. So sometimes you don't even know what question to research as you're trying to overcome those hurdles of going into retirement. And that, hence the preconceived notions, they just don't know how to ask the question to get the right answer and to eliminate those ideas.
Yeah, so, you know, we see the situation a lot with people misunderstanding what, and we find this a lot when people start to think about what would happen if I died.
Oh, that's so true.
And,
yes.
You know, people seem to think, oh, I got to get my will straightened out. I don't have a will, because without a will, no one's going to know where the money's going to go. Well, truth and fact is that
usually
chances are it's already defined.
Very little typically goes through the will. And because right now, I mean, so many people have most of their money in a 401k. There is a named beneficiary on that 401k or retirement account. And the money in that account goes to that beneficiary, doesn't matter what the will says.
Yeah. Now, I'm not suggesting that you don't need a will.
Yes.
You need a will. I you know, because that, the will, as I've always referred to it, it's like the it's the street sweeper that comes through after the parade's all over. It picks up all the crap that has yet to be assigned to anybody else or that nobody else wants, and it just kind of comes through and picks it all up. Because if you have a beneficiary named on your life insurance policy, that's superseding the will. It's going to whoever's name there.
Right.
Same with the IRA. Same with an annuity. Same with, you know, life insurance policy, a joint account, a TOD account.
Yeah.
All of this stuff. But if you have a bank account or an account at TD Ameritrade that's worth $35,000 in your name and you die, where's the money going?
Goes through the will.
It goes through the will, but it has to go through probate before it gets to the will.
Right.
And so one of the things that oftentimes we talk about is strategies to avoid probate. And many people don't understand when some of those strategies could include the establishment of a trust, not that we write the trusts, but we might provide some perspective on what a trust does. People confuse a revocable trust with an irrevocable trust. And you have to determine which is the right one to take.
It's not an easy answer to
it
that.
It is not an easy, but everybody seems to think, oh, I want to leave my money for my kids in trust. How often do we hear that? I want to leave my money to my kids in trust.
Or just in general, people will say, I think I need a trust. But there's no reason behind that why they think they need a trust.
And when people do ultimately say, well, I have a trust. How many times have we had people come in to say, I went to attorney, I have a trust, I'm all set. Yet we look at all of their stuff and nothing is in the trust. So they spent this money to have a trust drafted, but they never took the last step of re-registering their assets in the name of the trust so that the trust could actually do its job.
That is the key element. If you don't rename the assets, they are not in the trust, and the trust is useless.
That's right. But, and sometimes to a fault, I mean, attorneys will look at your net worth statement, they'll look at your assets, they will help you re-register the name of your house, for instance. They'll re-register the name of
the
deed into the trust. But all of your other assets, it's on you.
Right.
Because I find, and one of the things that we do here in our office, Marion, is when we're trying to understand a client's net worth, is we need to validate that net worth. We ask for statements, we ask for reports, so that we know who owns what and what it's all worth and what's owed as well. Oftentimes when you go into an attorney's office, you're just telling them, look, I want to avoid probate. You don't necessarily give them all of the information about your stuff. Maybe you give them some of it. They're not asking for statements. Some of them do, some don't. You have to figure out which ones do. But it's real important that you start with someone who's quarterbacking this whole financial experience. And that's usually a certified financial planner, someone like us, who takes a look at the big picture and guides you through that conversation with your attorney, with your accountant, with your insurance agent, whomever it might be. We find that all the time.
And remember, a lot of people go to see an attorney and they have, particularly older people, they'll say, well, I think I shouldn't have the house in my name. I want to give the house to the kids. And they put the house in the name of the kids. And, you know, sometimes they don't understand, or frequently they don't understand the ramifications of that. The attorney very frequently has to follow your wishes, and they do what you ask. You need to understand all of the surrounding ramifications of making those moves.
Right. There are reasons to get the house out of your name.
Yep.
and there's other reasons to keep it in your name or even put you as part of a life estate. All right. of those are issues. We're not going to get into that on the radio show today.
Nope.
But each of those are unique situations to you. And, you know,
same thing with a revocable or irrevocable trust.
Absolutely.
You know, it's unique to you. There are pros and cons to doing it. But you need to know all of the ramifications.
So here's an interesting situation that just crossed our desk this past week. We had a client. Both of them are in their early 80s. She passed away 2 years ago. And they had two children. And those two children each have children. In addition to the spouse passing away, the son passed away as well. And so the husband is by himself. He has a daughter who's living, I don't know, the south, somewhere south in the United States. She has two kids. And his son, who has passed away, his wife, is taking care of the two children. And so we told him that the way he had structured his IRA was that if he were to die, money would first go to his wife, but she's now passed away. But if it was left to the other two kids, it would go half to the daughter, half to the son. And it was listed as what's called pro rata, which means that if the son were to predecease the husband or the father, all of the money would go to the daughter and nothing would go to the kids. And I brought this to his attention and he says, yep. He says, that's the way I want to do that. I said, so you don't want the grandkids to get any money?
The other grandkids.
The other grandkids?
The son's grandkids.
He says, no. They'll get their money. He says, I just figured it's just easier to leave all of the money to my daughter, and then she'll figure out how to divvy up the money afterwards.
A lot of dangers in that.
Lots of dangers, not to mention some significant tax liability.
Exactly.
And he didn't quite understand that there was a better way to do this. And because he just assumed, you know, he trusts his daughter, she'll figure it out. But he's strapping his daughter with a very difficult situation, one that would cost her some significant tax money potentially. And we're trying to guide him through that. And we need to bring the daughter into the conversation to help her understand what her exposure is by having dad make this decision. And he's really wrestling with that because he doesn't understand. What he's heard is that, oh, my daughter can take care of all of that stuff, but there are rules around this as well, and rules to do things a little bit better, and that's where the kind of guidance is that comes into play.
And, you know, families can have falling out.
Oh, they can have that too.
And that happens, and we've seen that happen. I had a client in this week that, you know, two siblings have stopped talking to one another. Because over, you know, crazy issues, but still. And then what do you do? You know, I mean, so yes, back in the day, yeah, the daughter would have taken care of, you know, the other kids, but maybe things change. You just don't know.
Yeah, the rules have changed in a lot of different areas,
yes.
Especially in how beneficiaries receive IRA and retirement accounts.
That was a huge change 2 years ago.
Right, and so what happens is if you're not a spouse and you receive an IRA or a retirement account, in most cases, there's a couple exclusions here, you must distribute the money that you receive from the IRA over the next 10 years from the date of that person's death.
And pay taxes on it.
It used to be that you only had to take out a small amount, what was called a minimum distribution.
And you could
stretch it.
Yes. Yeah.
And even leave money to the next generation so they could stretch it. That was called the stretch IRA.
Yes.
All gone.
Yes, you can't do that anymore. And, you know, this has become a big problem for a lot of people who might inherit an IRA while they're still working. Think about it. You know, if you're still working and you're making a good salary, and all of a sudden you inherit $1 million in a retirement account that has to be taken out over 10 years, well, you know, even if you took it out each year, you have another $100,000 income each year.
Yeah.
That puts you in a different tax bracket. It can be a challenge.
Yeah, retirement is going to change a lot of people's lives. What people seem
For
to
sure.
think, years ago, they used to say, oh, you'll have less income in retirement than while you were working. That might have been the case years ago.
We don't see that.
I'm not seeing that at all. Well, it is for some people, but not for many.
That's
right. And the surprise for the next generation could be even bigger. We've got to take a quick break. I want to remind you once again that we put out a free weekly newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. It lands in your inbox every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. All you need to do is go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put in your name, your email address, and you will start getting financial advice in a language you can understand. We're going to take a quick break. When we're back, more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. With all that's gone on over the past couple years, perhaps retirement is sounding pretty good. But how can you focus on the future when you're so busy juggling the day-to-day? It's time for a real plan, a plan you can define, a plan you can track, and a plan you can modify as things change. At Friedman Financial, that's what we do. We know that planning for your retirement can be overwhelming, but with more than 50 years of experience, we know what you're going through. We're experienced and we're fiduciaries. We listen and we collaborate with your best interests in mind. You don't have to do this alone anymore. Turn to us for answers to your why, how, and what if questions. If now is the time to get serious about your retirement, please give us a call. We're Friedman Financial of Peabody. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Friedman Financial is a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante. I'm joined by my business partner, Marion Gilman, this morning. Good morning.
How are you today?
It is our last segment today.
Unbelievable.
Yep. And
time flies.
You can go back to sleep afterwards.
Thank God.
So it is the last weekend in August, and I'm getting
amazing.
Ready for Labor Day, and things are... People, there's a lot of conversations right now going on about how things are going to be different, how we're changing things. And one of the things that we're seeing is that more and more people are exploring the possibility of retiring.
I think COVID has done that to a lot of people. A lot of people, you know, the statistics are that there were a lot more people that retired either voluntarily or involuntarily over the past 15 months.
Yeah, and I think retirement... isn't what the picture of retirement was some 30, 40 years ago.
You mean you retire, you take a cruise?
You get a gold watch and you die.
Oh, you get a gold... You, wait,
you retire,
you get the gold watch, take a cruise.
On the Lido deck, you know, on the Love Boat.
I know that, yeah. I saw that show.
Captain Stubing, right?
There you go.
And yeah, you
they
go.
Have a lot of activities.
That's right.
So you take advantage of it all, and then you die.
That's it. And I think we all know that that's not happening anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things that came out over the past few weeks is that life expectancy in the U.S. has declined because of COVID. But the decline is...
By like 20 years?
It's so insignificant that it's just crazy. I think it was, let's see.
Well, it's probably like a fraction of a percent, right?
It is a fraction. It is like 0.1%.
It's insignificant.
And it's still a very long life expectancy. Think about it. 30 years ago, life expectancy was when it's in your 70s. Now, you know, it's much longer. And particularly, if you reach age 65, if you're a married couple at age 65, there is a 25% probability that one of you will live to 95.
Yeah. You know, people sometimes shake their head at that. And when we're building out our retirement plans for people, you know, we're not building them out to 83 years old. And that's what some of those online software systems do.
Well, you know, there are a few people that have said, oh, I'm going to live to 100 or something. But I would say that 90% of the clients, when we tell them we're projecting to age 100, they look at me and they say, I'm not going to live that long. But you don't know.
You know, I when you mention this, I'm thinking back to a time when I was in London and I was touring Westminster Abbey. And, you know, back in the 1600s, 1500s, and you read about life expectancies, of what, 35 years old?
35 was, yeah.
40 years old was life expectancy. But you're reading some of the tombstones that are there. And I'm looking at it, and I even turned to Laura and I said, this doesn't jive with what I heard about what life expectancy was.
There was some 70,
70s, 80-year-old people that lived to 70. It's like, I thought everybody died at 35. Well, that's not the case. But why is it that the people that are buried in Westminster Abbey have an average life expectancy of 70 or 80, while the life expectancy during that time period in the country was 30 years old?
Well, there are a lot of, there are no longer all those deaths in early years,
right.
Childbirth and all. So that was a huge event. There are also a lot of people who die in, you know, in wars or things like that where, you know, again, we haven't had that for a long time, and those would be 20-year-olds.
Right.
Yeah. So,
and there was also not a middle class back then, was there?
Well, that's very true, yeah. And the healthcare. I mean, think about healthcare back then.
Right.
What was it? You know, I don't know.
If you were attached to the royal family in some way, shape, or form, you were finding the very best in medical treatments to keep you alive and support you and sustain you and all that stuff.
And that same thing happens today.
Right. But if you were a peasant, you didn't get that kind of treatment.
You were out in the fields all day.
And now here... No, we don't have universal health care here in Massachusetts, but there is. Everybody has the right to health care here in Massachusetts, in this country.
Yep.
And people are living longer. What people choose to do on their own free time after they've had that treatment is totally up to them. And that can contribute to changes in life expectancies.
So very true. But remember, the older you get, you've passed all those younger hurdles, you know, and so now you're still in good health at 65. You could easily live another 30 years.
Look, we had a client that was here. He's 95 years old.
Yeah.
And he's talking like he's having a wonderful time. And she's driving. You know, his wife is 90 years old and she's driving him around.
Yeah.
But then there are others who are 72 years old that look like they're 90.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's a little different. So...
Yeah.
When we're thinking about retirement and our clients are talking to us about retirement, they expect us to guide them through some questions and scenarios that they've really never been able to wrap their arms around. Perhaps you can kind of fill us in on, you know, what are people looking to, what are people looking to from us?
So, you know, and as you know, Mark, most of our clients come to us because, as you mentioned before, they need to get serious about their money. They're either very close to retirement or in retirement. So now is a time that they have to switch from living off of somebody else giving them a paycheck to creating that paycheck on their own. And so what they look to us to do is, first of all, to figure out where everything is and, you know, what it's worth. I mean, because that is something that most people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they can't look at a piece of paper. They don't have everything on a piece of paper. And we can do that. We collect a lot of information and we create one net worth statement that shows all of your assets and all of your liabilities. Once we have that, then we can also take a look at what are your cash flow needs? What are you spending? So we can then create a stream of income, potential stream of income for you, projections for that, that you can see, how am I going to replace that paycheck? How am I going to be able to live the same lifestyle that I have right now without getting that paycheck? And honestly, whether you're already there or whether you have to save more, it creates such a sense of ease, I think, as you move into retirement. Of course, it's always a nerve-wracking experience, but having somebody to help you out, guide you along the way, hold your hand and answer your questions, that gives a great sense of relief.
I bet it does. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, that's what we do, is we help people out. We ask a lot of questions.
In a previous show, we talked about some questions that clients should be asking of advisors.
Right.
And I happened to be with a client a couple days ago, and he had listened to our radio show last Sunday, and he started asking me, he wrote down the questions that...
Could you answer them?
Yeah, but you know, it amazed... But my producer at the time, Biff, had said to me after the show, he says, Mark, he says, I couldn't imagine asking my financial advisor these questions. And I'm thinking...
Why not?
You pay this person. you pay this person. What were some of the questions? I basically asked him, I said, so I understand you need to get continuing education credits as a CFP. Could you tell me the particular areas that you like to focus on when you're getting a continuing education credits?
That's a great question.
Fair question, right? Because if someone is spending all of their time doing charitable planning to get their CEs, maybe their focus is on that and not something else.
Yeah.
I mean, what conferences do you go to? Where do you get, besides the information that you might have in your office, where else are you getting research information, or who are your mentors, or all sorts of different people? I mean, you might even ask, who do you see as your competitors here in the community? What's wrong with asking those questions?
That's extremely important, because you really need to go to somebody who specializes in the type of client you are. I mean, that is so important. You know, we have a certain profile of a client that we work very well with, and we take a lot of time to talk to clients before we take them on, and also for them to figure out, are they able to work with us? We're
right.
Not for everybody, for sure.
And in fact, I said to this client, he'd asked me, he says, you asked me to ask the question, Mark, what is your sweet spot? And so,
and what's your sweet spot?
Well, I'm going to explain that, but the question is you might want to ask that of a financial advisor, what their sweet spot is, before you start telling the financial advisor about your financial situation, because they can make it sound like their sweet spot is your sweet spot.
That's for sure.
So, but our sweet spot is very simple. Our clients are generally over the age of 50. They've been living in their home or in this community for 20 years or more. They have good relationships with their kids. They've held a middle to upper middle management job most of their lives. They've tried to do their best to help put their kids through school. When they approach retirement, they want to spend between $6,000 and $12,000 a month. And the net worth is somewhere between $500,000 and call it $3 to $4 million when you include in the house and everything. But $500,000 to $3 to $4 million is a lot of money. And about half of their income in retirement is either going to come from Social Security or a pension. I mean, that's a lot of stuff to know. Oh, and by the way, our typical clients are not interested in leaving a legacy to charity. Their charity are their children and their family.
That's very true.
So true. Is that an honest description of who we serve?
Very honest description.
Yeah. So those that think that we're dealing with the 100 millionaires and, you know, the billionaires of the world, we're not.
Right.
But we're not dealing with people that are living paycheck to paycheck either, or trying to get out of debt.
Right.
These are people that have worked hard, put some money aside for themselves, want to be sure that they can sustain their lifestyle in retirement, give with warm hands rather than cold ones to their kids, perhaps leave a legacy with in the future, but do what they want to do in retirement. And we work very hard to try to make them successful in doing that.
Well put.
Well, thank you, Mary.
We've been doing this for a long time, and creating that client profile is very important.
It really is, and we're going to do it right. And if now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning, I hope you'll give us a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We've got to get out of here, make room for Scott Whitley and Wicked Bites Radio. Scott, I'm going to turn it over to you. Marion, thank you so much for joining me today.
Such a pleasure to be here.
It's my pleasure, too. It's great to be doing this with you. And we'll be back again next Sunday. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
Our show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.